All right, we are in the second week of July, and we find ourselves, as always, in Terre Haute with Mayor Duke Bennett. Again, really appreciate you taking the time out of this busy summer to speak with us.
It's okay, and I appreciate you coming over here and doing it. So it's great for everybody.
Oh, boy, hot weather, but I mean, we wouldn't have it any other way. In the wintertime, we complain when it's cold, right?
No doubt. My wife loves it, but I've had enough already.
I wanted to start talk with probably the biggest development here locally, and that'd be the local convention center hotel progression of a food and beverage tax that was passed last night, which would have been Monday night at the Vigo County Council. But first, I have to note that this got through the General Assembly's special session, didn't it?
Yeah, it kind of survived to make it to the special session, got approved, and then County Council's really turned that around pretty quickly. So got it approved this week where we can move forward now with the more formal steps to get this convention center project underway.
So I take it you are in favor of this tax that was put into effect and the new convention center.
Absolutely, no question about it. We've kind of been planning this for about 4 or 5 years. You know, it originally started with ISU and the Holman Center project, and we kind of split apart on that, which is fine, but we didn't want to give up on the idea of a convention center. We turn away a lot of conventions every year, and I've had people ask me, well, who's going to come to Terre Haute for a convention? Well, I travel all over the state to go to conventions all the time in much smaller cities than Terre Haute, and so they will come here. We know that, and our studies have shown that. We just need a facility to be able to handle these kinds of things. Improves the quality of life, quality place, that's what everybody talks about, you know, it's the buzzwords, and it gives us another destination in our community. More people will come and visit us, they'll take advantage of a variety of things here, and so we all benefit from that, especially small businesses. And so that's kind of the impetus for that economic development component. We needed the food and beverage tax to kind of help us seal the deal. You know, that provides an ongoing revenue stream that will help us to operate the facility. And then down the road, we can do some other projects that lead to tourism. This year alone in Terre Haute, it'll be our biggest year ever. We believe we're going to hit the $40 million mark for tourism. And so, I mean, most people don't even think about that, but we've been tracking that closely as part of this project and seeing where can it take us. And so people are already coming here. We can just bring a lot more.
So let's just, you touched upon it about funding. What all goes into funding this convention center? How much does the city have to put in, the county, to make this a reality now?
All right, so the city's committed $10 million, the county's committed $10 million, and the Convention and Tourism Bureau's committed $5 million. And then we're going to get somewhere, I'm going to guess, around $2 million a year from the food and beverage tax. So kind of goes all into the same pot. We'll get the final design done on this project and deal with property acquisition and those things and get construction started as soon as we can. And, you know, it's going to be a great asset and a great addition to West Central Indiana. It'll be in Terre Haute, of course, right downtown, but it'll benefit the whole entire West Central area.
And then in terms of any partnerships, a lot of these convention centers you see, maybe a hotel or,
yep,
or some type of conglomerate come in to help fund the other part of that. Do you see
right.
that happening here?
Absolutely. We're going to have a third hotel and a parking garage and this facility for sure. So it's a public-private partnership in a way. We'll own the convention center component, and we're figuring out some of the other pieces, but the hotel will be owned by a private entity, and we'll have enough hotel rooms right there within a block of each other to support this. And it's really coming together very nicely.
Do you see this being a downtown type convention center or something maybe off of I-70?
No, downtown. It'll be downtown. We really want to focus on that. And, you know, we've got 5 museums downtown now and a variety of restaurants and other retail businesses that we think will be a perfect fit to help that downtown area thrive.
We were just talking earlier about Kokomo opening or announcing their convention center with concrete plans. Monroe County last year. Columbus is doing a study.
Yes,
Of course, now Terre Haute's moving forward. Is this a good sign, or does this worry you that all of a sudden there seems to be this influx of convention space that's going on throughout?
I mean, I hear you. And no, that doesn't bother me at all. It just means that everybody wants to do something to create a destination. And there's all kinds of small conventions, you know, 50 to 300 people that love to travel around to different places in the state on a regular basis. And a lot of communities just couldn't support them. They just didn't have the hotel space and the convention space all together. They don't want to be spread out all over the community. They want to be together so they can have breakout sessions and they can bring everybody together for dinner or lunch. And we don't have that space in Terre Haute. And Kokomo didn't, and Bloomington needed more space. You know, they had a facility but needed to expand it. And Columbus is saying, hey, we can do the same thing. And all it means is there's going to be more activity floating around to different places in Indiana that have never been able to do that in the past. And so there's really a lot of business in this arena. And, you know, we're just trying to get our fair share over here in this part of the state.
And then just one more question I have to ask, kind of the other side of it, for those that say, why is Vigo County, Terre Haute, adding another tax when budgets are strained and there are reserves being moved around and so forth?
Well, we're not moving many reserves around anymore, so that's kind of from the past. You know, we've made some tremendous progress from our personal financial situation. You know, the county's facing some issues with property tax effect on them these days. And so we're all feeling the strain of having less revenue. The city's collected over $100 million less in property tax dollars over the last 9 years. And so we're dealing with that. And we've worked through it and we have a balanced budget. We're moving forward. We need this kind of money because the people who are going to travel into our community will help pay for this. The burden will not be on all the locals. We estimate about 40% are locals. About 40% or so are outside of Vigo County, and 20% or so are out of state who visit our restaurants now. And so that means people will be paying who aren't Vigo County residents in the majority of this. And so there's 28 other communities or counties in the state of Indiana that's already charging it. Places in Illinois charge it. So that's just kind of the nature of the business. In order to fund these kind of projects, you've got to have a revenue stream.
So let's talk about budgets. I just saw a headline in the Tribune Star this week. The city will have a $4 million surplus in accounts related to property taxes. Mm-hmm. How true is that?
I think it's pretty accurate. You know, that was a number that a city councilman came up with based on his numbers. You know, we're working on those numbers now. We're kind of doing the budgeting right now and working to see how the end of the year is going to be from a cash flow perspective. I think we'll be really close to that. Maybe we'll exceed it a little bit. You know, kind of all depends what happens on the last half of the year here. We still got 6 months to go, but we're making tremendous progress. We're reducing our borrowing. You know, within the last 2 years, we borrowed $9 million between the TAW and then the internal borrowing with the Department of Redevelopment. And I'm hopeful by the middle of next year, about 1 year from now, that our borrowing will be probably around $3.5 million or four. So we've cut it $5 to $5.5 million in 18 months. And then there's a real good opportunity that most of that will go away over the next 12 months. And so we're not borrowing as much to fund our operations, which, you know, it's internal money and then the TAW we pay back. But we're not needing that because we're getting cash reserves on our own now to be able to float ourselves alone without having to go through the loan process.
I was looking at July 5th meeting listing on the city website and had a request for money appropriation shifts. It looked like transportation funds.
Uh-huh.
Is that part of what the state had?
Yes. The MVH fund is our 1782 notice that came back and they cut it $288,000. If you remember a year ago, we had $8 million worth of cuts and we dealt with that. But for this year, it's only $288,000. So we're going to cover that portion, and we're also going to ask for a little bit. We got a huge cash balance in both MVH and LRS funds. And so the legislature and state government, they don't want you just saving cash in these two funds because it's supposed to go to fix roads. You know, the new gas tax and the excise taxes on vehicles, we can't just put that money away and not use it. It has to be spent on the roads. And so we've accumulated some cash prior to the new monies coming in, and we want to make sure we're spending it. So we're going to put several hundred thousand dollars in addition to what we were already going to spend to make some road repairs.
So I asked you earlier, so what's going on? You said budget. So what's happening right now for
with the budgeting?
Budget, yeah.
We're meeting with department heads and going through the final pieces of their budget. And so by the end of the month, we'll have the budget compiled and then it'll go out to the council about August 1st. And we put it on Gateway and then we'll kind of begin the process of working through the budget. We won't actually meet with the council until September on that. They'll vote on it in October, but the bottom line is our budget will be basically the same. It'll be the fourth straight year of a balanced overall budget. And you know, it won't change much going from this year to next year. And so there shouldn't be any surprises for anybody, just another balanced budget.
And if that ends up happening, we talked about that surplus earlier, that would go towards not having to move funds or take out loans.
Yeah, and it'll just reduce the need for any loans. We still have some cash flow issues, especially the first 6 months of the year. But once those reserves are built up, we won't have to do that anymore.
I wanted to follow up too. Last month we talked about the dance permit, now called the special event permit. And it seems like it got a lot of attention. So I wanted to kind of follow up here, because basically the city is putting a permit on larger type gatherings and parties. Did that go the way you wanted it to?
Yeah, absolutely. And so from the beginning, it has saved lives. That there's no question that that policy and that that ordinance has helped us to stop some of these big parties. You know, we had situations where 300 or 400 people were showing up at a two-bedroom home, standing in the yard, shots fired almost every time, just a variety of things that were happening. You know, they had no safety plan. The facility couldn't possibly hold that many people. No security, no anything. And so this new ordinance, once we put it in, it stopped those very low. We had some that had 1,000 people at them. And you just can't manage that when they have no security, no safety plan. And all the whole point of this was, and we were warned by other communities in Indiana, you need an ordinance or you're gonna have this problem come to Terre Haute. We did, we addressed it. You know, we tried to model it after Indianapolis and some other places. So we've made some tweaks recently. The city council made the tweaks. And of course I approved that because it's the right thing to do and it's just gonna keep people safe. Yeah, it's a little extra step for you if you're gonna have a big event where you're charging people to come to a huge, you know, event, but it's really easy to deal with us to get it, and then we can make sure that everybody who's the public can be safe at that event.
You know, I caught something else on the Tribune Star that we haven't really talked a lot about, and it's city transit. Uh-huh. There was scheduled a bus, I guess, to begin a route to West Terre Haute. Some wondered if there was a need there, but then it made me think about more about transportation in Terre Haute. Is there a campus transit as well?
Yes, we have a bus that goes to Ivy Tech, and we have a bus that just serves ISU's campus, and they pay half of that for us. It's an agreement with both of those, college and university, Ivy Tech Community College and ISU, where they pay half of our expenses for that, so it serves the students. Works out great. In this case, with DADC shutting down a lot of their operations, we were driving to Sony DADC 12 times a day and we weren't picking anybody up. So we decided to adjust that route to still go to the north side of Terre Haute, but also go to West Terre Haute, because I've had many, many requests from West Terre Haute residents. How can we get downtown Terre Haute? How can we get to the transfer station so we can go to Walmart or wherever they may need to go? Sometimes they're going to Ivy Tech, sometimes they're going to ISU. And so we're gonna give it a shot here for a few months, see if people really will use it. So all we had to do was tweak the route a little bit at this point and not make any major changes. And so far on day one, hopefully day two is good also, but we had some ridership. And we had not had anybody on that North 19th route that went to Sony DADC. I mean, it's been pretty empty for the last 3 or 4 months.
Yeah. Kind of wanted to finish up with First Financial Corporation donating a city landmark building for a new Holocaust, the Candles Museum. And when something like that happens, when there's a donation of that size to something that means so much to this community, I bet that, I mean, that just doesn't happen often, does it?
No, it doesn't. So there's a historical building that's being preserved. It was starting to have some physical issues to it. The bank just didn't know what they were going to do with it. The Candles Museum does need to expand. They have a nice museum now, but they're in kind of a tough spot to get school buses in and out of there, and they need room to grow. I served on the Candles board for many years and really support what Eva has done and her message of forgiveness. So now we're going to bring another museum downtown, right next to a parking garage. There'll be plenty of parking for people. And it's just going to be a huge addition. We saved a building and add another destination in downtown for people to visit. It's going to be great.
Right, exactly. And it's also an economic kind of development.
No question.
As well. I mean, and everybody wins here.
Exactly. You know? It's one of those win-win-win across the board. Yeah. Everybody benefits from this. So really looking forward to them moving ahead with their plans and getting that done.
So July, summer, what's all going on in Terre Haute right now?
Well, you know, it's of course our construction projects are really ramping up big time now. That's the biggest thing for us personally. You know, there's just a lot of good things happening, and it is kind of a slower time from the university perspective. So you don't have students around, which we've talked about many times in the past. It kind of gets quiet, but there's still a lot of activities. You know, St. Ben's has their big summer festival coming up this weekend downtown, and it's always a big draw. We had First Friday last week. We recognized the military at that and had a pretty good turnout for that. The weather improved and helped with that one. But there's always something going on in Terre Haute, and we just ask people to kind of get involved, you know, come out and enjoy what's going on and just and be a part of a growing and thriving community.